Let's turn to 151 in the grace and glory. Victory at hand. Amen. Once I saw deliverance a long way off, freedom from my heavy load of guilt and sin. And I did not know that in this present life we could have the no-so evidence within. But when I surrendered at the cross of Christ and for God and truth I firmly took my stand, then I sang no longer victory ahead, for I had the victory, praise God, at hand. Victory at hand, victory at hand, through the blood of Jesus, victory at hand. Trusting in the Lord, I move at His command. In Christ I have the victory at hand. We may not possess a joy too great to tell, may not always see the answers to our prayers. Doubts may come and in the path of whom we love, but by faith we know that He is ever there. Faith then is the victory that overcomes, and though things go different than we had planned, still God's ways are best, and we can always say, now by faith I have the victory at hand. Victory at hand, victory at hand, through the blood of Jesus, victory at hand. Trusting in the Lord, I move at His command. In Christ I have the victory at hand. Then remember, brother, as you press along, feeling is not victory any more than sight. For though you may tempted, tried on every line, faith will always bring the tangled threads out right. Do not then look only to some future time, when with overcomers you may one day stand, shouting your defiance in the face of foes. You may sing, I have the victory at hand. Victory at hand, victory at hand, through the blood of Jesus, victory at hand. Trusting in the Lord, I move at His command. Christ, I have the victory at hand. Sing it again. Victory at hand, victory at hand, through the blood of Jesus, victory at hand. Trusting in the Lord, I move in His command. In Christ, I have the victory at hand. Amen. 89. At the cross. Amen. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign that sacred head for such a worm as I. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there my pain, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the way. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Sing it again, here we go. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Let there be glory and honor and praises. Glory and honor to Jesus. Glory and glory and honor and praises. Glory and honor to Jesus. Glory and honor. Glory to him. Thank you, Lord.
For me, Jehovah Jireh cares for me.
Yes, he does. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Glory to the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, how I love you. Master, Savior, blessed and true. Son of God and Son of Man. Holy Father, great I am. Master, light of the world, bright and morning star, the way, truth, and life, the door and the vine, Jesus, thou Jesus, from the beginning, amen. Jesus, Jesus, how I love you. Master, Savior, blessed and true. Son of God and Son. Father, great I am, Shepherd, Master, Light of the world, bright and morning star, the way, truth, and life. The door and the vine, Jesus, thou Jesus, divine. Amen. Hallelujah. He is divine. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Glory to you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. How precious he is to us. Oh, glory to God. Precious Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. God is so good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Message today is victory in Jesus. What does that mean? We're not fighting any battles, are we?
Yes.
We're fighting battles continually, aren't we?
Yes.
Not with our mate, hopefully, or our best friend or somebody like that, but our kids sometimes. But we are fighting a spiritual battle with the devil. And he is our enemy, even as he tried to even defeat the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's pure ignorance, isn't it? That he would think he could tempt Jesus, the Son of God, to do something that he wouldn't be wanting to do. Praise the Lord. But we're so glad that Jesus won the victory for us on the cross. That's where the victory was gained. It's not through our strength or our ability trying to, you know, grit our teeth and stand it. That's not what it is at all. It's because Jesus won the victory on the cross, and then we lay hold of that victory in our own life. Praise the Lord. So let's ask the Lord to bless this word of God. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for the scripture, for the way that you show us what your will is for our lives, the way you instruct us. And we believe you right now, God our Father, that you will bless this word of God as it goes forth. Encourage our hearts and give us victory, Father, we pray. Hallelujah. How many times I say that? We need the victory. Yes. Glory to God. To have the victory in Old Testament times was, you know, the armies literally went out and fought. I mean, Saul had an army. Different ones have had an army down through the years. David had an army. He had all kinds of things, people that would go forth to battle, people and warriors. So mighty warriors of the Old Testament triumphing over their enemies. We saw that. You know, I looked up this word victory, and it's found in 12 verses of the Bible. That's all, 12 verses. And we talk about overcoming and gaining the victory, and yet we only have 12 verses. Isn't that amazing? In the Old Testament, it's a word that sounds sort of like the Lord Jesus Christ's Hebrew name, Teshua. Teshua is the name. T-E word. T-E-S-S-H-U-A-H. And it means deliverance. It means help. It means salvation. It means safety. It means triumph. It means conquest and success. Praise the Lord. And we see those people in the Old Testament. If you would turn with me to 2 Samuel 23, we're going to look for a moment about David's mighty warriors. He had these men that were very, very faithful and went out to fight the battles. He had, and the Lord calls them these mighty warriors. And so, praise the Lord. In chapter 23 of 2 Samuel 23. Praise the Lord. These are the last words of David in this chapter. And verse 10, he says, he's talking about a man. After him was Eleazar. He's naming the different people who have helped him in the battles. And you can read, if you read from verse 8 down, it's really interesting. All the different warriors that were going to battle for King David. And in this verse, in verse 10, it says, after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, and Hararite. I don't know what that is exactly. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils. Fighting over a bean field? Anyway, I don't know. The Lord wrought a great victory. Now, he's commenting about his men of war, but he doesn't say they bought a great victory through their might, their strength. Oh, this was a strong man, and he went to battle, and his sword clave to his hand, and he fought that battle clear through all day long, and the Lord gave, he got the victory. That's not what he says. He says the Lord wrought a great victory. Thinking back what I said to you about the word victory, deliverance, help, salvation, safety, triumph, conquest, and success. That's the God we have. He is a God who wins great battles, the battles of the devil. The devil is constantly against the work of the Lord. And in verse 11, after him, it says there that the Philistines were gathered together into a troop there. But this man of war stood in the midst of the ground and did not back up, and he wrought a great victory. The Lord did it, not just him, but the Lord wrought this great victory. In Chronicles 29:11, it says there that King David gave great substance to the building of the temple, and then the people gave David praise, and David began to praise because they gave. I'll read my notes correctly here in a minute. And this is what it says there. David said this, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. See, he's giving all the glory. In that chapter, it tells all that King David saved and gave to build the temple. God wouldn't let him build the temple because he had so much blood on his hands. And so the Lord said that his son Solomon would be the builder of the temple. But nevertheless, David had that heart for the Lord, and he stored up great amounts of gold and silver and all the things they would need. And that temple was fantastic. It had gold on the walls, you know, and just beautiful golden furniture. But he says there that God is the one that deserves the glory, the power and the glory and the victor and the victory and the majesty. The Lord has done this. O Lord, and thou art exalted as the head above all, it says here at the end of that. Praise the Lord. So to be in victory means to be triumphant in battle in the Old Testament. And our lives, aren't we battling? Aren't we having tests and trials every day? Yes, we are. If you're not, something's dreadfully wrong. We might think to battle the enemy is something wrong, but if we don't have a trial in our life, then the Lord isn't trying to work in us. Remember that everything that happens to us happens for our good. That's what the Bible says. And we'd like to just say, Lord, no more trials, you know, no more tests. But then if you had no more tests, you would have no more victories. And so the Lord wants us to have victory in our life. As we read there, that meaning, he wants us to have triumph. Now we're going to look in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Look in 2 Corinthians 2:14, and you'll see that the Apostle Paul uses a word here that actually means victory. 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And I have written in my Bible here that the word causeth means he leads us in the triumph. When we're fighting a battle with spiritual things, you know, the devil is speaking badly and he's causing us to have problems, maybe agreeing with God's mercy and grace to us and his ability to keep us. The Lord is the one that leads us to triumph in Christ. And that word triumph means to conquer and to give victory. That's what that word means in the Greek. So it could have been translated that he causes us to have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that gives us the strength to be a victor in this life. Praise the Lord. So, glory. I'm so glad that we have the Lord to cause us to triumph. Notice it says always. You know that means every time. Every time. At all times. The Amplified Version says he always leads us in the triumph. He always leads us to conquer and to get the victory over something. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The battle is not ours. The scripture says that. The battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. And when we try to battle in our own strength, you know, we have maybe some problem with a relative or, you know, I've gone through that a lot and had these kind of struggles and trials, and we try to, okay, I'm going to do so-and-so. Or I'm going to say so-and-so, then that will make them to do so-and-so. No, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. We can talk all day. We can try our very best all day long, and it doesn't work. It doesn't bring about anything or any change. But when we cry out to the living God, you know, help me, Lord. I need victory. I need this ability to triumph, which you have said in your word, that I can be a triumphant, victorious person over all these trials. Remember that little word, always, always. He always, every time, at all times, he causes us to be a conqueror. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. This is interesting. This word triumph was a word that the ungodly in the Bible times, they worshiped a god called Bacchus, who was considered to be the nature god, and they would have a procession that they would walk all together and bring their offerings to this idol. And in this word triumph, it means an exclamatory procession. So what are we doing? We're walking with the Lord. We're moving on. When the victory comes to our lives, we are moving on with the Lord. We're not worshiping Bacchus. We're worshiping the Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth. And we take those steps by faith and victory, and we are moving on in the procession. One of these days, the Lord is going to call us up. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul says we should recognize Christ as the one who gets all the glory, and we should rejoice and walk on. Praise the Lord. Now, thanks be to God. Notice that, what he said there. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord. The word there says, in that 14th verse, it says he makes manifest. And that word means to render apparent. Now, all of us, I imagine, have had some time when we couldn't see too clearly. We needed glasses, probably, or something, you know, like that to help us to see. And that's how we are spiritually. We cannot see things in our own strength. But God manifests it to us. He causes it to become apparent. He renders it apparent. That's a work, you know, like I turn on the lights. I'm rendering the light on so that we can see. And that's what God does. And it says that he makes manifest a savor. That savor, that means fragrance and odor of his knowledge. Doesn't the word of God thrill you? It's like a beautiful scent when we hear the word of the Lord. When we honor the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, we hear his words to us. It's like a beautiful fragrance of Christ that is being manifest to us. Praise the Lord. Verse 17 says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Praise the Lord. We do not corrupt. That word means to make trade of. How many ministers today are making trade of the gospel of Christ? They cannot get through their time on the TV or radio or anything without then saying, well, we need your money, you know, so send us the money. And I don't know, but that's something from my childhood. My father being a minister, he never begged for money. And I was taught that from the Word of God as I went to school and everything up in Kansas City. But that was something that was inbred in my life. You do not beg for money. God will provide. It is our place to give. All of us. I give. Everybody should give to the Lord. But it is not our place to beg for money. So let's turn to the book of Romans. That is not our theme today, but we want to know that we don't corrupt the Word of God. Romans, the 8th chapter, we want to look at. This is a victory chapter. Praise the Lord. We're going to read in verse 35, beginning with verse 35. Praise the Lord. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril, means about to lose our life, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's from the Old Testament. That's what the scripture says. And in Paul's day, it was very, very true that he gave his life. He gave his life for Christ. He stood firm. Now notice in verse 37, nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. When in the Amplified version, which I was reading as I was studying, says, we gain an overwhelming victory. To be a conqueror means that they won the battle. They were the victor in the trial. They were a victor in the warfare. And so here, we are more than a victor. What does that mean? Is there something greater than being a victor? Pursuing and keep on going. In the Old Testament, it speaks about some of the people that were pursuing the enemy and said they kept on pursuing. They kept on pursuing. That's what we need to do in our own lives, is be more than a conqueror. Get a reward. We're going to have a reward in heaven for this, gaining this overwhelming victory. This overwhelming victory. Isn't that something? And as he goes ahead to say, for I am persuaded that neither death, now these are the items that we have to overcome. Death, the death of a loved one, the death, our own death. Some people are afraid to die because they don't know the Lord. Nor life. How about just living? Sometimes life gets hard, doesn't it? Every one of us have had trials. You know, sometimes when we're going through something, we feel like, oh, nobody goes through what I go through, you know. But it's not true. All of us have what God has given to us, which a lot of times is a trial that maybe we feel like nobody else has suffered it, but you know, that is not true. Others have suffered it too. So neither are not life, he says, nor angels. We are persuaded that neither death, not even angels. Well, what angelic beings would harm us? What angelic beings would come against us? Satanic. Satan has about a third of the angels. Nor principalities, that's the wickedness in high places, nor powers, not any kind of power can come against us as we trust in God, nor things present. Maybe we're going through a trial right now. We think, boy, we need victory in this trial. But those things present, they're not going to separate us from the love of God. He says, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. And that word creature there means created things that God is the creator, but we know that the angels are God's creator too. And yet Satan is an evil, evil person and his angels that follow him. And they try to defeat us, but no other creature can separate us, it says, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord that we have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Remember again what the word conqueror means there, to gain an overwhelming victory. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to go back to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah, the 40th chapter, which you may recognize if you read the scripture. I'm sure you have. This is the scripture. It's a wonderful portion of scripture. We like to read it to get encouraged from the Lord. We're going to go back and we're going to begin reading with verse 26. And the very first words are, lift up your eyes on high. One of the things we find out in life, there is no one that can help us when we are in a trial to get the victory except the Lord. We can look to somebody else. We can think maybe our mate can help us, or if I can just get to this spiritual one or that spiritual one, they will help me to overcome. But there is no one that can help us to overcome and be a victor except God in the Lord Jesus Christ. So lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? Now he's talking about looking up at the sky and seeing all those things that God created up there. He says, who has created all of this? He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might. I was thinking about that when I was studying this, and I thought, you know, mankind calls them certain things. Do you think those names are actually were given to people by God? I wondered that when I was thinking about it. You know, this one, Mars, and all the different ones, and the different groups of stars. Anyway, the Lord has names for all of them by the greatness of his might. And there are so many thousands of these up there. Just think of that. That's how great our God is. Praise the Lord. So he says, he calls them all by names by the greatness of his power, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Do you know, not one of those planets or those stars, whatever they are, will fail and blink out unless God tells them they can. God speaks the word and he has that. I don't know why he does it, but maybe he does it just to try to confuse man down here. Because man's always trying to figure out what's going up there, isn't he? Yet he won't make the take the provision from God to be up there. Many that study the stars are atheists, don't believe in God. But let's go on now. Let's go to verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fadeth not, neither is weary? The word weary means to be totally exhausted. Have you ever had that? I have. To be totally exhausted over something. But God never is totally exhausted. He is never exhausted, period. He's God, and so he never faints. No matter what happens on the earth, he doesn't set up there and say, oh my, look what they're doing now. He knows it all from the beginning to the end. He knows everything that's going to happen. And everything has been predestined by him. He knows the answers. There is no searching of his understanding. Praise the Lord. Verse 29, he gives power to the faint. Praise the Lord. Power to the faint. This word means in the original ability. He gives ability. Do you know what? When you feel like you can't go on, you know that if you cry out to the Lord, he gives you ability, gives you strength to keep on going. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? And strength is another meaning of it. Force. He gives force to us. He gives might. He gives power. Praise the Lord. Verse 26 there said, he is strong in power. We've just read that. He is strong in power. So he gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases their strength. And what does the word say? Paul says, when we are weak, then we are strong. We don't like to be weak. I can ask you to raise your hand if you like to be weak. None of us do. It's not in our nature that we want to be weak people, physically in every way. But when we're weak, that's when we're really strong in the Lord. We have to go by his strength. He increases our strength when we're fainting. Verse 30, even the youths shall faint away and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Praise the Lord. Victory. Victory in Jesus. He gives us this power to overcome all things. Praise the Lord, as Paul said, to be more than a conqueror. Now, there's different ways of looking at being a conqueror. Some of them just like we do today. We just go drop bombs on somebody. And we're saying, we won, you know. But in those days, they went out physically with a sword or some other hand weapon and fought. They didn't have guns. They didn't have any cannons way back those times. And there was great slaughters. But we are more than just a conqueror. We have the power of the Lord to give us his strength, his power. Praise the Lord. He gives us, gives power to the faint. That means ability, strength, force, might, and power. Hallelujah. He increases our strength. Glory to God. Concerning our strength in the Lord, let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 2 Corinthians 12, most of us, we read that so often because it's such a beautiful, beautiful scripture. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. My grace, and we want to remember, we know what grace is. We say it's unmerited favor. But in this place, it means a benefit or a gift or graciousness. In other words, the graciousness, the gift of grace is given to me, and his grace is sufficient for me. It means it's more than enough. It's more than enough. How would Paul have gotten victory over the things he was going through? Getting thrown into prison, rejected of people, going preach, and then here they're all back in error again. And other ministers going out to try to defeat his work all the time. And the Jews standing against him trying to cause trouble. But he learned that in the trials of his life, that God was always with him and was sufficient, more than enough. And he says, my strength is made perfect. That means to complete, to finish. The Amplified Version says it shows itself most effectively in weakness. The power of God shows itself most effectively in our weakness. Wouldn't that be true? I mean, if I'm strong in myself and I can just do anything, nothing bothers me, everything just goes off me like a bunch of water running off a seal. It just, nothing ever bothers me. Well, I'm not depending on God to help me. I am going in my own strength. But when we go through the trials and tests of our life that the Lord allows to come, it's going to be dependent on God to get us through there, to show itself most effectively in our weakness, because we are weak. People that think they're too strong, they think they can do anything by themselves, they don't need to seek the Lord, they'll fall on their face one day. God will see to it that the stuffing's knocked out. That's what happens. And the people of the world, they don't have anyone to turn to. They are not turning to God. Some of them do. Praise the Lord, that's true. But many people in the world just try to be perseverant, you know, go on and keep on trying. And right now they're hearing more suicides all the time because people are not trusting in God. They're going on in their own strength. He says there, therefore I take pleasure. He says, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. I will glory in my infirmities. I will all the more glory in my weaknesses. What does our weakness bring? It brings the power of Christ. He says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We're talking about victory, and you might think, well, she really got off the subject. No. Our trials in our life are hard for us, but when we cling to the Lord and we cry out for him to help us, then he comes in and gives us that strength to bear up. He gives us victory in our lives. Oh, my goodness. What does weakness bring? The power of Christ, the victory of Christ, to rest. Yes, resting in the Lord. Exaltation of his power, enfolding us and dwelling in us. Praise the Lord. That's the way we have the victory, not through our own strength. Glory to God. Therefore, in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure. Oh, my goodness. Have I got there yet, Lord? Take pleasure in infirmities? I'm just so glad I'm sick today. I'm just so glad I hurt. Oh, my goodness. That's really overcoming, isn't it? That's really having the victory. Yes, and we're just human beings, but we know we have the new life of Christ within, and that new life of Christ is saying, be a victor, overcome this. Don't let this thing get you down. I'm going to admit something to you, and it may seem very, very strange. 57 years ago, on May 25th, I had a little child, and I've told you about this. It was my third little child, little boy, and he died at 11 months old with muscular dystrophy. And yesterday was the anniversary of his day that he died. And for some reason, the devil really attacked me yesterday, thinking about him all day long. And he was a precious child. He was intelligent. He didn't have a mental problem at all. He was a very intelligent child. If he had grown, had been allowed to grow up, the doctor said he would have been about 6'3". He was a very long child, 30-something inches, 36 inches long when he was just 11 months old. And I've told you about this before, but it's amazing how Satan will attack us. You know, some years I haven't even thought of it lately, but yesterday I thought of it. And the enemy was there to make me feel bad, feel a little bit distressed. But, praise the Lord, the Lord was the victor, and I am a victor in Christ Jesus. So we don't take pleasures in things that happens sometimes, but Paul says he does. So I think the only way we can do that is to feel like, well, God is working in this trial. God is working through me. And I know that before my child died, I had never had anybody close to me die. My grandparents were still alive. You know, I didn't have anything like that to go through. And after that, the Lord spoke to me that he was going to use me that way. That was how he was going to show me what it felt like to lose someone that was very dear and to be able to comfort and help other people. So there was a purpose. And so I have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going on. I'm going on. Praise the Lord. And he is faithful. So he says, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. How does that work? I thought we're supposed to be strong all the time. I have the victory. Boasting in myself. But when we are the weakest, when we are the most dependent, that's when he comes in and gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's turn to 2 Timothy. We'll close with this, 2 Timothy. And I've read this recently too, but this is what the Lord gave me, okay? Paul was a victor. Oh my goodness. If you read in the 11th chapter, I think it's 1 Corinthians, all the things that he went through, my goodness, how could one man suffer that much? He says he filled up the sufferings of Christ. And, you know, it's just a life of constant anguish and pain and physically being beaten, yet he was a victor. And in this chapter 4, he's in prison at this time and about ready to go to be with the Lord. He's about ready to be offered. That's what he says in verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now this, we know that we feel, I mean, that history says he was beheaded, that Rome could not crucify him because he was a Roman citizen, though he was a Jewish man. And so they beheaded him. But he says, whatever God wants for me, I'm ready. Can you imagine? You think he went to that beheading rebelliously and putting on the brakes and shaking to death and saying, no, I can't take this. I can't do this. He already had the victory. He knew that sudden death would be sudden glory. Going to be with the Lord. That's what he believed, and he practiced that. So I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This is a man that has victory. Isn't that wonderful to know that as an example to us? To be offered there. He says, I'm ready to be offered. That actually in the original says to be poured out like a drink offering. He'd poured his life out in the natural sense, in the spiritual sense for the Lord. Everywhere he went, being persecuted and preaching the gospel, and wrote 14 books of the New Testament. That's an amazing thing to think about. A lot of them written from prison where he'd barely see and had to have someone that he dictated to. He had a problem with his eyes, we believe. And yet he was a victor. So he says, and henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Crown of righteousness, a crown. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Praise the Lord. So let us be victors and faithful. He says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. And you know, if we really supremely love Christ and his appearing, I mean, that is the one thing I really look for, you know? I really look for the coming of Jesus. I love that thought of being changed from this mortal body into a glorified body. But most of all, I rejoice and look to seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus. That's the joy that he gives to us. Oh, it's laid up for us. Know that. Notice that. It's there waiting. If we're an overcomer in life and walk with God, he's got it all planned. He's going to give us a beautiful crown one of these days. And you know what the overcomers do with those crowns? I think most of you do. Chapter 4 of Revelation, they take off their crowns and lay them at the feet of Jesus. We don't take any credit for anything. And especially as we are glorified in our new habitat and our new way, there won't be any fleshly desires or praise to the flesh. We won't say, well, I deserved it, Lord. Just give it to me, Lord. I really worked hard for this. No, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done even for our salvation. Neither is it for the crown or the greatest place in there with the Lord Jesus. Not by our own fleshly works. Praise the Lord. So we have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. I have fought a good fight. That fight of faith brought Paul great victory. A great reward. Hallelujah. We'll sing a song, and if you have any need today, please come and we will pray for you.
Let's stand, turn to A in the front of the book. I thought these had them. I heard an old story. How a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with him. his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He left the air, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory.